it's a clock with a history, and it could tell us more than just the time. The historic Anderson House in Invercargill is back in business after earthquake safety concerns 8 years ago, and it's got a new resident in the shape of a dun-dun-dun grandfather clock, a timepiece that Anderson House Trust chairperson Craig McAllister has a personal connection with, and he's with us now. Good evening, Craig.
Good evening, Karen.
So what is the history behind this grandfather clock?
Yeah, so it's proven to have a bit of a life of its own. So my great-grandfather owned the clock, and the house he was living in at the time got sold to the Invercargill Licensing Trust, and they inherited the clock with the house. And the clock stands about 10 feet tall, so it's sort of understandable why it didn't get sort of taken with them when they left. And certainly we had difficulty getting it out. But my grandfather, as a young child, when he was in trouble with his father, would run and hide in the clock. It's that large. You could sort of sequester yourself in the clock and not be noticed. And then latterly in life, when my grandfather lived in Dunedin when he was a young man, and if he had to visit Invercargill, he'd stay at the Avonall Hotel, as it was, which was the old former family home. And he was a bit of a trickster, and he would go, he knew how to wind it. And winding it's not, you've got to have it, it's a bit of an art in winding it up. And he could wind it up, and he'd set it to chime off at midnight, and the chimes on this thing are huge. And then he'd totter off to bed. Because this was in the days, of course, of 6 o'clock closing, you can imagine, and people would have been in bed sound asleep, and this large thing would start chiming off in the hotel. Make people laugh.
Amazing. So what does it look like? 10 feet tall?
Oh, it's about 10 feet tall. It's oak. It's about almost a metre wide at the base, a little bit less as you go up the clock. And it's sort of got big oak pillars on each side of it with a big glass face looking into the clock. It's quite a magnificent piece to look at. We think it's sort of a one-off. It's not. Doesn't seem to be sort of a mass-produced article.
Yeah, where might it have come from?
Well, that's right. We wonder whether my great-grandfather, we wonder whether he had it made. We're not too sure. We're still speculating on it at this stage. But
do you know its age at all? Or
It would be getting up towards 100 years old. It would have to be just based on the age of the house and when the house was sold to the local licensing trust, who we chip in for them. They've been magnificent in helping us relocate this clock to the to Anderson Park, where it fits in beautifully. But interestingly enough, it used to be in the what was a Cobb & Co. restaurant there at Avonall, and they had it refurbished a few years ago, and they put the clock out the back. Well, nobody'd bother to tell the builders that they might want to get this clock out one day. Took the Allied Picture guys quite some effort to get the clock out of the refurbished bar, because they just hadn't anticipated they might want to get it out. It was close to being landlocked in the storage area, but we got there in the end, and it looks fabulous in the Anderson House.
I bet. And does it keep good time?
Well, the chimes are off it at the moment, so we're still trying to find someone that's anybody out there that knows how to fix old great-grandfather clock, as we call it.
There is someone
hearing from
in your neck of the woods who I spoke to last year, and there'll be some listeners who remember this. I think he's in Dunedin, might be retired, not far from you. So let me work on that one. But how was the clock connected to Anderson House? It belonged to your great-grandfather, William McAllister.
My great-grandfather started up a law firm in Invercargill called McAllister Brothers, and they were the Crown solicitors, and they hired some very well-known people in his day. Sir Ivor Richardson worked for them when he was in his junior years as a lawyer. His sons, there were two sons, Horace and Alan McAllister, went into practice with him, and Horace McAllister married Irene Anderson. And there's a connection with Sir Robert Anderson.
Ah, I see. And this Anderson House, it's been closed for 8 years. What have they been doing during that time?
So it was earthquakes. It just wasn't up to the building code. And the problem with the house was that the beams that held the floor, there's two stories, the beams that held the the flooring up for the upper floor just weren't connected into the blockwork. They were just sitting in the blockwork, if you know what I mean. So they just put some steel braces around them to stop them slipping out of in the event of an earthquake and stopping the floor collapsing. So that's all been done now.
Is it a big place?
It's about 400 square metres, 450 square metres.
That's huge.
Interestingly enough, with the so the family donated it to the Invercargill City in 1951 after our Lady Anderson's death. And it was used as an art gallery right up until it was closed. So the art gallery, of course, you could go in there and have a look around, but you could only have a look at the front of the house, and you couldn't get through to the rear of the house where, you know, the engine room of the house where the staff lived and worked and the kitchen areas and the like. So we've now got all that open to the public, and the public are really enjoying the opportunity to have a look through the full house, not just the front of the house.
Right, so now it's been upgraded. What about what's inside it? You know, furniture and fittings. Are you having to start from scratch?
Well, yeah,
clock.
It's a blank canvas. The art gallery took a lot of features of the house out of it. So for the likes of bathrooms and kitchens and whatnot, they sort of gutted them and used them for art storage. So we're starting from scratch. Unfortunately, we'll probably never get it back to an Alderson type, which is an old house in Dunedin, which is a bit more of a museum piece in this place. But we'll never get it back to what it was. But what we can do with it is use it for events and functions. So if people want to have a birthday celebration or a marriage or just a conference or something like that, we've had one of the local law firms has had their Christmas dinner out there so far. So it's there and available to the public to hire out and use. And I think that's what most people in Invercargill want. They want a place that they can use. And rather than it being locked up and only available to sort of see by appointment, etc.
Yes. Whereabouts is it in Invercargill? When you say out there?
Well, it's on the outskirts of Invercargill. So it's in a place called McIver Road, which is about 10 minutes drive from the centre of Invercargill. So I call it the outskirts because it's sort of fully residential, but it's all sort of 5 and 10 acre blocks of land, etc. But it's down a very, very long driveway and all full of native trees and whatnot.
Sounds fantastic. And has that clock got a nickname?
No, I don't just call it the great grandfather clock. It's a magnificent piece of furniture, but we haven't nicknamed it yet. For a suggestion.
Open to suggestions. All right, very good. Good luck with it all, and thank you. I'm glad it's lived to chime another day.
Exactly. And the local licensing trust have been very kind to us to do this and use it. I don't think they'll be probably wanting it back because it doesn't really fit in with what they do nowadays, and in the meantime it's got a lovely place to sit, and it's good for people to be able to look at it rather than tucked away in a cupboard at the
wonderful
old town.
Thanks very much, Craig. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Cheers.
That's Anderson House Trust Chairperson Craig McAllister, whose great-grandfather William McAllister owned that clock, which is now in Anderson House.